In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, light, and information, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence and a better understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, Annie McKenzie, a spiritual healer, teacher, and founder of Sacred Soul Journeys. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You did that on purpose, Filippo Voltaggio. I like it. So if you did do it on purpose, which I'm sure you did, I thank you. So I am looking forward to our guest, Annie McKenzie, who is live from Australia. It's very exciting because, it's interesting. We are shifting our minds so much. Maybe some of you have already thought this way. I haven't. Today is actually tomorrow, all at the same time. We are talking to Annie today, but it's her tomorrow, or at least it's her today, but it's our tomorrow for her. Never mind. I think you know what I mean. And so that's kind of exciting. We're talking at the same time in this moment, and yet it's my today and her today, but hers today is tomorrow. It's exciting to me. I think you know why. Yesterday was a very exciting day for a lot of women, and maybe even some men. But yesterday was Mother's Day, and it's a day that's celebrated a lot here in America and through other parts of the world. And it's a very important day for a lot of women, and like I said, and some men. And I think it's special that we celebrate mothers every day, actually. I actually call my mother every day, at least almost every day, whenever I can. But almost every day. But regardless, there was a special day that we all said, we all got together as a world or as a country and said, or maybe it was Hallmark, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. We decided that Sunday was going to be Mother's Day. And so it is. So it is kind of special, I'm not putting it down, that some people remember to call their mothers and tell them how special they are. And one would like to think that people have a relationship with their mother where they don't have to be reminded to treat their mother special or to take, especially all the good mothers of the world. But I bring it up because I was someplace where I got to be around a lot of people who we weren't there together because it was Mother's Day. It was a sporting event. It just happened to be Mother's Day. And I heard a mother say to a man, and not her husband, somebody else's husband, "What did you do for your wife?" And the tone in her voice was, "I know you didn't do anything." Because evidently, well, I know his wife is a mother. But as if it was up to him to make his wife's day special because she is a mother. And I'm not saying he shouldn't. It was just interesting that, but what I am saying is, I wonder if we're setting up a scenario for failure. That's what I'm saying. As a matter of fact, her exact words were, after this man replied, "Don't worry, I did something very special for her this morning." And the woman's response was, quote, "I know when my wives are not happy," end quote. "I know when my wives are unhappy." In other words, she can look at all her female friends that are married and know who's happy and who's not. And in this case, this particular wife was not happy because the husband didn't do the right thing because it was Mother's Day. And he didn't know what pleased his wife. Now, the reason I wonder if we have it all wrong or if we're setting ourselves up for failure is because, especially as a child, my parents didn't want to leave me alone when I was little. And so when my father was working and my mother had her prayer group, I would have to go with her to the prayer group. And then as I got a little bit older, sometimes I wanted to go because they sang at the prayer group and I loved the songs, and sometimes they would let me lead and I enjoyed doing that. So I ended up being around a lot of women. Of course, being a boy, I was also invited to be around all the men. And a lot of times when events were held, parties, especially in Italian-American situations, the men were all in one place and the women were all in the other place. And since I knew everybody and was friends with everybody from prayer group and whatnot, I would make my way from one to the other. And I noticed that the men would be talking about certain things and the women would be talking about other things. And sometimes the women would be talking about the men and the men would be talking about the women as if they didn't know what was going on, and vice versa. And so it's interesting that whenever something happened around motherhood, or like when somebody was having a baby, the women would get all excited, not the men necessarily, the women. And when somebody's baby was born, the women would gather around. They would all go. They would cook for her. They would help wash the baby, you know, and who was going to be there all week? It was the women. In a tribe form, they would be there for each other as if it was instinctual, as if it was something inside their blood, as if it was something that they knew about because they did. And because they cared about it. It's not that the men don't care, but they care in a different way. And so, unfortunately, we don't have the whole hour to go into this. And fortunately, because I'm not an expert, I'm just saying, I wonder if we're setting ourselves up for failure. Because, you know, there are midwives. I've never heard of a mid-husband. That doesn't mean there can't be one. But having participated in an actual birth, I noticed the reaction of the women who had been through it, the women who get charged by it, the women who feel there's something happening inside of them. I got excited as a male and I cried, but I know I did not feel the same thing that a woman did. So throughout the first pregnancy, when the pregnancy happens, you know, they do showers. Now they're including the men, but the showers are about women, and the women get giddy about these little gifts that they get, and they're showing their husband, honey, look how cute. And the husband's saying, yeah, honey, that's great. It's always the women gathering around each other. So I wonder why all of a sudden it's now Mother's Day and the kids are older and it's no longer, you know, a new baby. All of a sudden now it's the responsibility of the father, of the husband, to make Mother's Day special. And I hear comments like this lady saying, I know when my wives are unhappy and you did something wrong. Well, excuse me, if you know when your wives are unhappy, why don't you help those wives have a better Mother's Day? Why don't the women celebrate each other on Mother's Day? I'm not saying the men are off the hook. I'm saying, look, you want to have a good Mother's Day? Why look to your husband? You know he's ruined it every year, obviously. We're setting ourselves up for failure. But it is something that I think we need to look at. And, you know, maybe mothers and wives aren't responsible for a happy Father's Day for their husbands. Maybe the husbands would rather just go to a barbecue with the other men and not talk about their kids. And that's okay because it's their day. So I'm just saying sometimes we need to look at things for what they are. And sometimes for what they're not. Sometimes we need to accept and sometimes we need to change. And life changes and so do our perspectives on certain things. I'm just wondering if here is an interesting perspective to a tradition that has come to unfortunately mean a very sad, angry day for a lot of women when it might could be something very different. So that's something I wanted to offer to you all. And before we, before nothing, we're going to have our guest as soon as we come back. Our guest tonight will be Annie McKenzie right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
I'm excited to have our guest today, Annie McKenzie, who's based out of, I don't know how to say this.
Umundi. Umundi.
Thank you, Annie. Umundi. That's great. It's in Australia. As a matter of fact, on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. Now, Annie from Umundi is a spiritual healer, a teacher, and a leader of tours to sacred sites around the world. Some of her favorite places are Peru and Bolivia and the ancient Mayan lands of Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala. She is heralded by her clients as being intuitive, inspirational, and exceptionally effective in her healing work that she does at these sacred places as well as in person. But Annie's trips to the sacred sites of South and Central America help people to grow and expand their consciousness by experiencing the ancient power of these places for themselves. Travelers also get to participate in powerful ceremonies led by her and local elders and shamans. We're so excited to have Australian, or Aussie, I should say, Annie McKenzie on the show. Welcome, Annie.
Thank you, Filippo. I'm very happy to be here with you.
This is very exciting, and it's your tomorrow already.
It is. It's my tomorrow.
And
it's it's a beautiful tomorrow here, a perfect day in paradise.
That's very profound. That's very profound. You're telling me that tomorrow is a perfect day. That's very profound. You know, speaking of very profound, you go to some very profound places. And as I was thinking about the angle by which we were going to talk about tonight's subject matter, I was thinking, you know, I've been around a lot of people who take vacations and who go to Disneyland. Or go to the Eiffel Tower, or you know, something like that, or go to the beach. Well, those all, I'm sure, are fun, wonderful places, but going on a tour with you to sacred sites is something far beyond a vacation.
Yes, it's not really a holiday as such. It's an experience, and a profound one, and one that really helps us to grow and to learn. And we do get to visit some really beautiful and wonderful places, and there is a holiday aspect to it, but there is so much more than just going to the beach.
Well, let me ask you this. These places, there is beauty to see there, but it's not just the beauty that we're going to see when we go with you someplace, right?
That's right. Although the awesome beauty of these places is uplifting in itself, where we go are to places of ancient mystery and ancient power. And they're very high energy places. And when you visit these places, you can't help but be changed by them. And people that have been on these trips with me always say that they're just not the same person when they come home as they were when they left. Mm. And it's a big experience, and it can be an unsettling experience for some people, but when they have a chance to come home and integrate the energies, they find that they've shifted in profound and wonderful ways.
You know, Annie, it's interesting. I was thinking, on the one hand, I thought, well, wait a minute. I understand that there are places we call sacred and places we call beautiful, but the whole world is beautiful and the whole world is sacred. And then where my mind went is like, okay, so you build yourself a home, or even in our own respective homes, there always seems to be a corner where we enjoy sitting in when we want to be quiet, or we seem to decorate that area better, or something like that. So there is something happening in those places. How is that a good analogy, first of all?
Yes, it is a very good analogy. There are places, the world is a beautiful place, and it is sacred, and we take, you know, our sacredness with us too. But there are places where we're energetically more aligned than others. So I may be drawn to a particular place where someone else may not be, and they can be drawn to another incredible site. It's just energetically we're attuned to places. And many of the sacred sites are on energy lines. You know, there's a grid in the earth, and a lot of the sacred sites are on these lines of energy that we can feel and become attracted to in a magnetic way.
Mm. You know, actually, before we get into the magnetics of it, you also said that people are attracted to different places. What are some of the reasons besides our alignment? You were talking, I think, past lives or something like that?
Yes, we may have had past lives in these places, or many lives in these places. And until I went on these trips, I hadn't really been aware of that. But when I arrived at these places, I had amazing memories and experiences from other times. So I can only talk from my experience. And I know that it was an overwhelming and a very emotional experience for me to connect with the energies in these places.
You know, that's interesting, because I have heard people say, oh, I can't wait to go to, and they mention a place that you would never expect them to want to go see, and I, places that I've never heard of. It's like, what makes someone find something like that and want to go?
It's so funny, because before I went to South America, I hadn't been particularly drawn to go there. The place that I wanted to go to was Scotland. For some reason, it called to my heart. But I ended up going with a friend to South America. And when I got off the plane in Cusco in Peru, it was like a coming home. And I wanted to throw myself on the ground and weep. Mm. I knew the place. I knew the shops, the squares. I knew what was there. And that's, but, you know, but sometimes things come to you in dreams also. And I dreamt of an amazing place in Peru, and I ended up going there, which was called Macahuasi, which is a like a stone forest that's out of Lima. And I kept dreaming about this place, and I knew that I had to go there. Mm. And it was an amazing experience when I got there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes people hear other people mention a place, or they'll read about it, and they just feel incredibly drawn to go there. And, you know, there are so many books and so many travel shows about different places. But for me, when to go to Palenque, which is a huge place for me energetically, I was just watching television one day, and this place appeared, and I had the most amazing longing come up in me to go to this place, and they didn't say where it was, and it was so frustrating. But I eventually found out, and when I got to Palenque, it was more than I could have imagined.
You know, actually, as I'm listening to your story, I see how connected you are to these places, and it actually makes me sad. It makes me think of so many people that I know who, like one person in particular, who's in a relationship where he wants to go someplace, but his wife thinks it's silly to go to a particular place. So in all their years of marriage, they've never gone there. because she'd rather go elsewhere. Well, it's great for her, but I wonder if he's missing something, a piece, an energy in his life because he hasn't been able to go to that place.
I think he most definitely is missing something. If he is drawn to go to a place strongly, he may need to go on his own. Mm. And I know that for me, if I'd have waited for my husband to come with me, I would never have gone. Mm. And it took a lot of courage for me to go on my own. But in doing so, it was an incredible experience because it was my experience. Mm. And I didn't have to worry about him being happy or if he was getting the same thing, you know, that I was. Mm. I was free to have my experience. And then when you come back, it can enrich your relationship rather than drive you apart.
Oh, Annie, I'm so glad we're talking about this because I think sometimes people need permission or to feel it's okay to do things for themselves and on their own, especially when it's this kind of a calling. So, and it reminds me, too, that I was in Sedona with someone who didn't want to be in Sedona, and someone said this person said they didn't feel anything and it was no fun and whatever, and it wasn't all that horrible, but I thought, how can one not feel anything in Sedona, Arizona? Because there's something going on, right? And can you explain it?
Sedona is the most amazing place, and there is definitely huge energy going on there. When I first went to Sedona, I woke up in the morning because I arrived in the dark, and I looked out, and I just saw the most beautiful place, and I could feel the energy pulsing from there. But I'm from somewhere else, so these energies were new to me and very, very strong. If that person didn't feel anything, I'm just wondering if they're very much attuned to that or if they just closed off totally from the experience because they didn't want to be there, so they just, on an intellectual level, said, there's nothing here for me. That was their decision and choice, and they went with that because, to me, it's a profound place, and it's one of my favorite places on earth.
Well, actually, that's saying a lot, because when you talk about favorite places on earth, you're talking about some of the most revered, sacred places. As a matter of fact, some places that people can't even get into, that you have been able to get into, and some places that that are even talked about, people don't know because it's quote unquote not time yet. Could before we get into the details of some of these places, what do you mean by not time yet?
Well, everything has its time, and there are certain developments in our consciousness, and there are certain forces at work in the world. Unfortunately, there are people that will, I suppose, rape and pillage certain places because there's so-called treasure there, or energetically interfere with these places. And there is a protection around some places to keep the energy clear and strong until the world is ready to experience the gifts that these places have to offer. And I know that for a long time people have been searching for the golden sun disk of South America. And if you were to say exactly where it was, there would be those that would love to hold that and take it and even steal it and use it for their own good. Mm. So there is an agreement to keep it secret, I suppose, for a while until the time is perfectly right for it to be exposed.
You know, Annie, I like to make analogies of things and help myself understand and people as well. And what came to me when we said, you know, what do you mean by it's not time yet to go to a place? I mean, it's just a place. And yet I was thinking, you know, I was thinking of a young lady on a date with a man, and he comes home, and she invites him into her house, but then he wants to go in the bedroom, and she says, no, it's not time yet.
That's right.
So
that's right. But also, when things are in alignment, everything flows easily and works well. We can, when I was young, I suppose there were opportunities made that were open to me at the time, but I didn't have the experience or the eyes to see what was before me. But in later years, through my life experiences and my spiritual growth, I could recognize those things and value them for what they were. If I had have taken it on back then, I wouldn't have had the same appreciation and growth from that. It was just not the right time. Or I didn't recognize it because it wasn't the right time. When we have the eyes to see, and that's what I find in a lot of these places, when you're ready, and it's only you that will know that, you are open to see more than the normal eyes can see or have a huge experience in these places. If it's not your time or if it's not your place, you may not feel it at all.
You know, Annie, when we come back, we're going to explore some of these places and things that you have seen, and you and only very few other people have. And so I'm grateful that you're going to be sharing this with us. And I also understand that some of the things you have not been able to even post pictures of, but that you're going to be starting to post some on our Life Changes Network. So I look forward to finding out what all that is going to be right after this. We're speaking with Annie McKenzie, live from Queensland, Australia, about the sacred places and sacred sites she has visited. We'll be right back.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we are back, and our guest today is Annie McKenzie. We've been talking about the sacred places that she has. Well, actually, no, we haven't been talking about the sacred places she has visited just yet. We're going to be doing that right now. But we've talked about sacred places almost in general, and what makes a sacred place and what draws someone to a sacred place on this planet. Annie is a spiritual healer. She is a teacher and a leader of tours to sacred sites around the world. If you want to learn more about our guest, you can go to anniemckenzie.com.au. That's Annie, A-N-N-I-E, McKenzie, M-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E.com.au. And of course, if you didn't catch that, or if you also want information, you know you can always go to lifechanges.com to find out more about her and all our other guests. So Annie, we've been talking about sacred places, and we've mentioned Peru and Bolivia, I think, and Mexico and a couple other places. But you just haven't been to the sacred sites where other people can also go, somehow you are aligned to where you meet people along the way, or and they take you almost magically to places unseen by many other people.
That's right. I've been very lucky that way. When I first went to Peru, the shamans started appearing, and they would talk to me, and they told me that I was coming back and bringing a lot of people with me. And at the time, I couldn't see how that was to be, but that is exactly what unfolded. And through meeting these people, it just opened up, because I was open to them, I suppose, it opened up the path to many places and experiences that were fantastic. Lake Titicaca is an incredible vortex of energy, and some say it's the sacral chakra of the earth. It's the highest navigable lake in the whole world, and there is a sunken city, or there will be several sunken cities in the lake, and one of these is rising to the surface now. And you know, I know many people have probably seen this place, but it was just coming to the surface when the shamans took us out in a boat and took us to this city, which was a wonderful experience. And they took my group also to a small island, which is near the island of the sun and the island of the moon. That's an island that the locals don't even go to sometimes, because they say they see a lot of strange happenings on this island, a lot of strange lights and animals that don't belong to this earth. And it is a small island. And we went onto this island and were having a ceremony, and I was drawn to a particular part of the island, and I asked for permission to go there. And the shaman said, make yourself at home. And I went down, and I felt this energy spiraling up from beneath. And automatically, my hand reached up towards the sun, and I felt energy coming down through there. And it was an overwhelming experience. And I was in tears, and I just put myself back together and went back to the group and didn't say anything, because I didn't feel it was my place at the time. But when I went to the Tiwanaku site, the chief archaeologist there saw me, and he said, I recognize you. You know, I work with you on the other planes, and you went to this particular island. And he related to me my experience there, even though I'd never met him before. And we formed a friendship from that. And he, each year when I go back, he's there, and he takes me to certain places that a lot of people don't get to go to. Some of them, you know, I'm not permitted to say where they are, because they haven't been. He's like a guardian or a protector of these places, but we can go with the group, and it's a wonderful experience.
Wow, Annie, you're talking about animals that don't belong to this earth, and places that you can't even say where they are. We keep saying this is a small world, and I wonder, it's a small world that doesn't. Somebody else must know about this, but somebody else might not know that it's sacred, or might not know that there's energy there, right?
Well, people wouldn't be drawn to this particular island because it looks unremarkable until you stand on it. Mm. And the guardians of the place, the shamans, wouldn't take you there. Underneath this place is there are tunnels, and all through Peru and Bolivia there are tunnels. It's just a labyrinth of tunnels, and these, some of them are interdimensional tunnels. And this, on the island of the sun, there's a labyrinth temple there, And when I first went there, my guides were telling me the story of a man that had disappeared following his sheep into the a labyrinth, and he disappeared. And he came back 9 months later, and he was 40 years older.
Wow.
And he said that he had been in the most beautiful place within the earth, and that there the only rule was love.
Wow.
And he found it very hard to be back in our 3D reality. And
wow.
When I went there, this man was still alive, but when I went back last time, they told me that he had since passed away.
Mm.
But there are many, many tales like this of what to us would seem extraordinary, but is every day over there. It's just the way of the world.
You know, talk about extraordinary. I know, Annie, that you have come to have visions at some of these places and come to have some understandings about what's going on in the world right now and what we are here to expect, going to expect. And I'd like to ask you some questions about that, but let's do this. We're going to break to a commercial so we can come back and wrap up.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and we've got Annie McKenzie from Australia on. We were getting into talking about some of the things you've come to learn at some of these sacred places, and it was quite prophetic. Unfortunately, we only have a few more minutes, but we're going to direct people to your website where they can learn about more about your tours and where they can actually go on one of these tours with you, and then hopefully we'll have you on again or something, because your information is important. So tell us what you've learned in a nutshell about what's happening right now and where we're headed.
Well, when I was in Bolivia once before, it was for the September equinox in 2009, I was at a special ceremony of the elders, and I witnessed a portal opening or energy streaming into the earth. It was this amazing golden light through this doorway, and I was blasted by this energy. And the energy was being held by these amazing men, the elders of this particular place, which was a little town on the shores of Lake Titicaca. And I'm just keeping it brief. What they said was going to happen at the time, they said what I had witnessed was this opening and a lot of light streaming into this place, because it was where Mount Illyamani and Illyampu, their energies intersected, and it was an extremely powerful place. And this light was beaming in from the universe and into the earth along the crystalline grids and to every sacred site on earth. And they said this energy was bringing through, it was bringing a lot of light to the earth, and that there would be thousands of people all over the earth, whether they were aware of it or not, that were holding this energy so it didn't come in so too fast. If it came in too quickly, it said it could have blasted the whole earth open. But with this light coming in, they said anything that was not of that light had to be released. So they said it would be the start of the earth changes. And then the next day we had the Haiti experience and then the earthquake in Chile. And they said that these earth changes would become a lot more frequent and maybe worse. And we've since witnessed that with Japan and so forth. But it's not, it's all for the higher purpose. And it doesn't, they said a lot of people would die, but there are reasons for this. And one of the reasons is that we are supposed to be more community-minded and more the family of man. And when there are huge tragedies like this, it opens our hearts to help each other, no matter what your political beliefs or your race or whatever. Our hearts go out to the people in these places and we unite. We put everything else aside to help our brothers and sisters on the planet. So it's a heart opening and more a connection as a family of man. And that was just one of the experiences.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about heart opening, and yet we're also talking about heart hurting. When you think of how many people have already died and how many more can. So, but we're not supposed to take it to the hurt, I take it.
Well, sometimes our hearts get broken, but they're broken open, and they enable us to receive. We tend to be in a society where we think everything has to be all love and light and we avoid all tragedy. We don't see the gifts in the in what happens, in the so-called bad experience. Sometimes our biggest gifts come in a very unusual package. And for, in the face of a tragedy, we can grow enormously. And that's not saying that, you know, we have to have the tragedy, but if it's happened, it can be a huge vehicle for growth and expansion. And when we expect everything to be like on a fluffy or a surface level, we can miss a tremendous opportunity for growth. You know, if we think back to some of the biggest life-changing experiences in our lives, you know, if we knew they were coming at the time, we would run a million miles in the other direction. But having gone through these things, we would never change it for a moment because it makes us a much stronger and better person. Our challenges are what make us strong. But in this time, if we can unite and help each other, we override the wars, all of that type of thing. And we relate to people as people with feelings like us. And in the face of tragedy, we can offer our support and love and help. And we have to become better people as a result of that. That's my feeling.
And we have the capacity to.
And some of us don't realize our capacity. And we don't realize what amazing beings we are. And, you know, with everything that's happening at the moment on the earth, it's, our perception of things has changed very much. We had a time of being where the world seemed a wonderful and a safe place, and things are being shaken up now. And we don't, we know that things happen that are beyond our control. And, you know, to stand strong in the face of the fear of what might happen, is what's required of us at this time.
You know, Annie, I sense you're about to say something, so go ahead.
No, it's... the Earth is going through tremendous changes, and as it holds more light, what is not of that light needs to go, and the same is happening to us because we are connected to the Earth. And some of us have felt very shaken up through all of this, and we're releasing lifetimes of what we can't take with us as we evolve. So we need to release it too, and we can become very sad or very emotional or whatever as we learn to deal with the changes. But it's a big and a huge energetic clearing for the earth and for us as part of that earth.
Thank you for that.
The places that I go to, as in Peru and Mexico, these places honour the earth as the mother. And you're talking about Mother's Day, you know, before you started.
Right.
And how they give thanks to the mother. In Peru, they honour Pachamama all the time. If they have a drink, the first little bit, the drops go to the mother with a meal. Some is offered to the mother because they know that the mother provides us with our life and everything we need for that life. And they live in awareness of what they are given, and with gratitude they honour that. We honour the mother. And just in relation to the mother's stuff, you know, where I come from, it's not the husband that honours the mother, it's the children that honour the mother. And there's a shift, because I know with my husband and I, we joke, because I say, I'm not your mother. You know, you look after your mother. My children can honour me on this day. But it's the same with us being children of the earth. We need to learn to honour her and appreciate the gifts that she gives. And when we see all these changes going on in the earth, you know, sometimes it's because we haven't really appreciated the gift that we've been given.
Yeah, like that woman said, I know when my wives are not happy. And so mothers and maybe women are more in tune with what's going on with Mother Earth, and some of the indigenous people who are more in tune to being children of Mother Earth are speaking through people like you, and you are taking people like us on these tours and journeys to places where we can get more in tune to the vibrations and to the sacred spaces. And for that, I am very grateful. I'm also grateful that you have been with us on our show and sharing with us. And I want to remind everybody that you can go directly to Annie's site at anniemckenzie.com.au, as in Australia, anniemckenzie.com.au. Annie, this has been a great pleasure. Thank you so much. Let us continue having this conversation on our network and very soon again on the air, shall we?
Thank you very much, Philippa. I've enjoyed it very much.
It's been a pleasure. I enjoyed it too, only it was a little frustrating because I know so much more of what you can share with our audience, but unfortunately that's our time.
I know. There's so much I could talk about, but I am grateful for the opportunity to share a small part.
I'm looking forward to more time together, and again, remind everybody to look into Annie's tours and information at her site. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Philippa.
Our pleasure. We're at the part of the show that we call the producer's wrap, where Mark LeJour and I talk a little bit about the show. And with this, I'd like to start by saying thank you, Mark, because I know that you not only got Annie for the show, but that you two are friends. So I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I'm so glad we were able to have Annie on. She's obviously very special, and the experiences, a number of the stories that I've heard from her and the experience I know she's had. Boy, I wish we had more time to cover them.
And in a way, I do too, of course, but in a way we do, in the sense that I know that you have forwarded me certain emails of things that she's written, places she's been, experiences that she's had that she's shared with you and a few of her friends on the short list of the people that she communicates with. But I think if we can get her to post some of that on the network, then we can all be privy to some of the great information that's coming through her.
I think it's a great idea, and it brings to mind something I was thinking about while listening to her and thinking about how segmented we are or have been as a society, how individuals, we go to work, we wake up, we go to work, we come home, we wake up, we go to work. You know, there's such the material focus has us distracted, and there's so many of these places that are so amazing, and so many people, most people, don't have the opportunity to make those moves, or don't allow themselves the opportunities to make those moves to go and experience these different places. You know, the focus is trying to pay for the car and keep the kids fed and pay the mortgage and all of these things. So we don't have the ability, or don't allow ourselves the ability, to go have these experiences. And hopefully that's something we are going to be doing more.
More and more, absolutely. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask her but forgot is some of us, either we don't have the money or the time or can't see just yet going to some of these places. But I was wondering if having a picture of a place or an artifact, a stone or something from that particular place, if it has a similar effect. Do you know what I mean?
Well, not being able to speak for her, my feeling would be that it does. I mean, what we're learning at a quantum level, energy isn't everything, and visualization, just like...
Wait, you're not saying energy isn't everything. You're saying it is in everything.
Every energy is in everything. Yeah. Energy is everything, or everything is energy. So the point being is that in that type of a situation, let's take science, for example, the quantum studies that they're doing now, they're proving more and more that we can replicate the physiology of an event, meaning they've measured runners. And runners can have the same physical, biophysical reactions or results from thinking about their run as they do having the actual run.
Right.
So that calls to mind that visualizing a location or being, visualizing an experience in that location can bring you to that same energetic place.
You know, I love that we're talking about this, and this is a great reminder for me, and I think for all of us, that if we do that, if we're called to a place, like Annie was saying, if we're called to, I can't wait to go to such a place, to have pictures or posters of that place or artifacts or little some kind of things from that place or that represent that place for them, it helps us not only connect there, it might even help us manifest it like a vision board, but it also helps us, probably makes us feel good throughout the day.
This perfect example of this was putting my son to bed last night, and a few hours later he woke up crying and screaming and had a bad dream. And I went in and calmed him down, and I told him that whenever he has one of those bad dreams, to immediately think of something that makes him happy.
Mm.
And he looked at me, he smiled, and he was asleep within a couple of seconds.
Oh, wow.
And he said, yeah, right as he smiled. He said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he went to sleep. And we lose sight of so much of this as adults. We allow ourselves or become programmed away from this, whereas kids have the answers.
Mm.
And we can learn
from it right away.
So very similar, where the visualizing of it works, and we got to get back to remembering that the visualizing of it works.
Well, that's great. So let's remember to do that. And of course, if you can go on a tour, by all means, look into Annie McKinsey's, and you can do that at our website, like we've given it, and also on our website at lifechangesnetwork.com. And with that, we've run. Mark, did you want to say one more thing?
Sacred Soul Journeys. Annie McKinsey's Sacred Soul Journeys.
Oh, yes, we didn't give out that site. Sacred Soul Journeys. It's at the site, but I mean that name for it. So with that, we've run out of time ourselves for the producer's wrap, and I'm looking forward to our next show. And as a matter of fact, our next show is going to be Peter Vultaggio and Lessons from an Alien. You don't want to miss that show. And of course, we'll be back at the end of the show with the producer's wrap with Mark LeJour. Well, I, Filippo Voltaggio, along with our producer Mark LeJour and Dorothy Lee Donahue, our producer, and our engineer Seth Hendricks, thank you for being part of the show, being part of the changes of this world that we all wish to see, and just thank you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.